This happened when I was 5 years old. Unfortunately, I can't remember a lot of the details, but my parents helped me fill in the gaps. I was in daycare because my father was our main source of income, and my mother was just beginning to work her way up the ladder at her new company, so she could not afford to take any additional time off after her maternity leave was up. My grandmother would have to take care of me during the day when I was a baby, but my parents wanted me to socialize, so they found a local daycare. I initially had trouble making friends because I was a very shy child, but for some reason a girl named Bella insisted on trying to get me to play with everyone else. She managed to break down my walls, and we became best buddies. We remain close friends to this day. She was the most outgoing kid in our group, so she was friends with all the other children. One kid in particular, named Jackson, was always fighting for her attention. I was never fond of him. We argued a lot. The daycare teachers would often have to separate us. One day, Jackson and I were in a particularly bad fight, and our parents had to be called. Jackson's father showed up to take him home. I can vividly remember the moment he walked in. He was a tall man, probably around 6'3". And I can't exactly describe it, but he just looked off. Something about him struck real and genuine fear into me. I think it was because of how lanky and malnourished he looked. He almost moved like something pretending to be human. When they greeted him and explained the situation, they pointed me out. He looked at me with an expression that I still can't quite figure out. His face didn't really move much, but it seemed like he was going back and forth between anger and indifference. He just stared a hole through me until an obviously fake smile spread across his face. "Well, as long as there was no blood, I think we can let it go." His deep voice and his slow, drawn-out speech gave me the chills. He waved goodbye to me as he left with Jackson. After that day, he was always the one to drop Jackson off in the morning and pick him up in the afternoon. As if the first time I encountered him wasn't terrifying enough for me, each time he saw me, he would always have that stupid smile on his face and gave me a wave. About a month later, Bella's birthday was coming up, and her parents sent invitations with her to the daycare. Her family was particularly well off, so they threw her a big party in the yard behind their house. This will matter later on, but Bella's house had a patch of forest behind it. For some reason, their fence only covered the sides of the yard, so the tree line sort of served as a boundary for how far we could go. Seeing as we were all still quite young, all of our parents came with us. I had a great time for the first 15 minutes, until Jackson and his father showed up. It was almost like he had some kind of built-in radar, because he found me and locked his eyes on me within seconds of arriving. I spent most of the time after that in the inflatable bounce houses Bella's parents had set up, but eventually I had to go inside to use the bathroom. Bella's mom led me down the hall to the guest bathroom. For some reason, this door didn't have a lock. While I was finishing up and getting ready to wash my hands, I heard the back door open. After the door closed, footsteps began to move down the hallway. By some miracle, little me was smart enough to realize these steps sounded like the long, slow steps that Jackson's father took. I don't know for sure if it was him, but I couldn't fathom who else it could have been. I began to panic and hid in the small towel closet. Either Bella's mother had assumed that I was already done and was back outside, or he ignored whatever she told him because the bathroom door creaked open. The fear I felt in that moment of not knowing what was happening on the other side of that closet door is something I don't think any human should have to experience. I heard him opening the door all the way and stepping into the bathroom. He must have been looking around for about 15 seconds, but to me it felt like an hour. I heard him opening the cabinets under the sink. He moved around until the only place he hadn't checked was the closet I was hiding in. My heart was pounding at this point, and if I just hadn't used the bathroom, I surely would have pissed myself. I saw the shadows of his feet in the crack under the door. I'm assuming right before he opened the door, there was a loud commotion as the back door opened, and a kid was crying loudly. Jackson's father left the bathroom, and I breathed a sigh of relief. I waited for a while before coming out, quickly washing my hands and leaving. The commotion was over a boy whose name I have since forgotten. He had run into another kid without looking, and had fallen onto a pretty sharp stick. Once I was back outside, I was on high alert, constantly aware of wherever Jackson's father was. Oddly enough, he seemed to forget about me. He didn't look at me, and just socialized as best he could with the other adults. Bella's party is in early December, so this was around the time of year that the sun was starting to set really early. Once it started to get dark out, we played hide and seek. I guess I regained my courage because I had forgotten all about Jackson's father and ran into the trees to find a hiding spot. We designated a line that you couldn't go past, so I found a bush that was just barely in bounds. I listened to the other kids whooping and hollering as they were found, and watched what I could from my spot. This bush grew in a very odd way, so I was almost able to climb inside of it. It was only partially covered from above, and mostly covered on its sides. Bella's parents yelled that once we were finished, we should come inside and watch a movie. Most of the parents, with the exception of Bella's father and two other men, went inside. I guess they were out there to keep an eye on us, but they weren't paying a lot of attention. I must have been one of the last hiders remaining at this point. It was very dark out now. Bella's mom had brought flashlights out for the seekers. The seekers were now beginning to move closer to where I was, because I could see them every now and then. I overheard one of them saying that the trees were the only spot left. There was the sounds of twigs snapping, and the crunching of the now long dead autumn leaves. I thought for sure it was one of the seekers about to close in on my spot. I tried to be as still as I could, and blend into the bush. I then heard two more sets of steps approaching from different directions. These were fast and light steps coming from my left and right. I was trapped. They had formed a triangle around me, and were unknowingly about to surround me. It then hit me that the steps behind me were not only out of bounds, but they had also become almost silent as soon as the two sets on either side of me had appeared. I had just assumed they didn't realize they were out of bounds. Just then, through the bush, I could see one of the seekers in front of me. I then looked behind me, but it was too dark to see anything. Just when I was about to turn around, there was a sound off to my right. Something had hit the ground. The seekers darted off in that direction, chasing what they probably thought was a hider moving in response to their position. I watched them go, and then looked over my shoulder to see what the seeker behind me would do. Quiet steps began moving in my direction. They were sort of circling me, seemingly always positioning a tree between themselves and me. I could hear them moving in, but I couldn't see anything. Something about the rhythm of these steps was off. I noticed that they were slow and deliberate. It was like they were making it a point to be very quiet. I looked over my right shoulder and thought I saw movement by a big tree about 15 feet away from me. From that vantage point, that person would have had a clear view of me. Just then, it occurred to me that the movement I saw was someone moving behind that tree. That's when it occurred to me that it could have been an adult hiding. But there were no adults playing with us at the start. So did they join in later on? I heard the seekers moving around and started to take an inventory of all the adults. There were only 3 of them outside and the rest were inside. Just then, I remembered Jackson's father and realized that I hadn't seen him at all since we began playing. Right when this occurred to me, the footsteps quickly approached, and right when I was about to turn to see what it was, a hand covered my mouth and an arm wrapped around my upper body. Jackson's father had gotten me. He sat down and pulled me back into the bush. I was squirming and trying to break free, but he was too strong. He got right in my ear and whispered, "No one will ever find you." I began to cry and scream into his hand, but it was no good. I reached down trying to find a rock or a broken root, something, but there was nothing. He grabbed me harder and forced me to be still when one of the seekers began moving back in our direction. I knew that I couldn't let this one last glimmer of hope go to waste, so I began searching again for something to alarm them. I reached behind me and realized that I could get into his pocket. In one move, I quickly grabbed his phone, yanking it out of his jacket, and then threw it a short distance away. It hit the ground with a thud, and the kids ran toward us. Jackson's father let go of me, and I exploded out of the bush. The kids laughed and tried to taunt me that they had won, but I pivoted and ran towards the house as fast as I could. They had no idea what was going on, but they followed me. Bella's father caught me by the shoulders and asked me what was wrong. I tried as hard as I could to explain, and I guess he got some semblance of what I was trying to say, because the 3 men immediately stormed off into the trees. Jackson's father went running off, and they chased him, but couldn't catch him. My parents immediately brought me out to the car, and we went home. That night I had a lot of trouble sleeping, as I thought every sound and shadow was Jackson's father. I was listening to the passing cars in our neighborhood. Eventually I heard a car stopping just outside of our house. I only heard one of the car's doors closing, so perhaps it was the teenage boy that lived across the street. There was silence for a while, until a sound at our side gate startled me. We have gates on either side of our house, which access the backyard. I thought maybe it wasn't the gate. I bet our neighbor's dog is jumping on the fence to try to figure out what my neighbor was doing out there. But then I heard footsteps quietly approaching my window. My blinds cover most of the window, but there is a small gap at the bottom that they don't quite reach. The sun peeking through always woke me up in the mornings. I was too scared to look. There was silence for a moment, and then there were fidgeting sounds. All of a sudden, the window was forced open. Something pushed through the blinds and onto my floor. A horrific, tall shadow figure unfolded itself and stood over me. The scream that erupted from my mouth was unlike any sound I have ever produced. I backed into the wall, still shrieking. The figure laughed at me. I reached out on both sides of me almost as if I was trying to melt into the wall, when I felt something with my left hand. Earlier that night, I had been so scared that I got out my wooden baseball bat that my dad had given to me and placed it in the crack between the bed and the wall. My dad was a semi-pro baseball player, so my childhood room was fully baseball-themed. I grabbed the bat and swung it at shoulder level, which happened to be even with the figure's crotch. Suddenly, that deep, bone-chilling laugh turned into a bellow of agony as the figure collapsed onto my floor. My dad practically broke down the door and turned on the light to take in the scene. There I was sitting on my bed with a baseball bat, while Jackson's disgusting creature of a father was lying on my floor, clutching my first two home runs. My dad got me off the bed and out of the room. My mom then took me down the hall and into their bedroom, locking the door. My dad turned back to face the pitiful sight on my floor and threw in a few more kicks for good measure. Apparently, when he ran off from Bella's party earlier that night, he then got in his car and sped off. He then waited in the woods until he saw us drive past, then followed us home. We were all too frantic to even notice. Once he found out where we lived, he returned later that night. Thankfully, after this last incident, he was arrested, and nothing like this has ever happened to me again. Despite Jackson's father receiving a very hefty sentence, we moved away. I just couldn't handle living in the same place that I experienced something so traumatic. Fortunately, Bella's family was also about to move. We didn't know this at the time, and we ended up in the same city, so I still got to grow up with her. I'm 19 years old now, and I still sleep with the TV on because of this. Outside of that, my life is unaffected by my experience. I guess the moral of the story is to teach your kids to be vocal about things that bother them, and to not brush them off when they say that there is a monster in their room, because there's always a small chance there just might be one. I used to work at a daycare, from the mornings until 3 p.m. I would watch after the very small children until the elementary school kids arrived. This took place a few months ago. The daycare I worked at had a basketball court at the base of a hill that was situated next to a major road. I had taken our fifth graders down to the basketball court and everything was fine at first. I'm watching over the kids and occasionally glancing at the road, because although we're separated by two different fences, a dedicated individual could climb over both. The daycare was located in a very wealthy area, but we did occasionally have some homeless addicts wander into the parking lot. You never know what those kind of people could do. I got distracted, trying to defuse an argument that had broken out between two of my boys, when a few kids ran to the fence and were waving frantically. So I turned to look, assuming that they had seen some other teacher leave. Instead, I saw an unfamiliar gray car with the hazard lights flashing. The passenger window was rolled down, and a woman with red hair was leaning over the driver's side seat and waving at the kids. I shooed all the kids away, not liking this uneasy feeling I got. They all assured me that they knew who it was. It was an old teacher. But from what I heard about previous employees, I didn't recognize her, and at that point I had been there for about a year. The woman made eye contact with me just for a moment. She didn't appear to be threatening, but she did look remarkably unhappy. After what felt like a lifetime, but could have been no more than a few seconds, of her just staring daggers at me, she drove off. The entire situation felt very bizarre. So I called for an administrator on the walkie-talkies we had. My supervisor and the assistant director of the daycare came shortly after, and I explained to them what happened. They called over one of the boys who greeted the lady. He again explained it was an old teacher who used to work there, and she would drive by and frequently stopped on that road to say hello. The director asked him to describe her, and when she listened, she frowned and said that she was going to check the cameras. After closing time, the assistant director told me that there had never been an employee there matching that description, and she didn't recognize her or her vehicle on the cameras. She couldn't catch the plates of the car, so we didn't have much information to give to the police. Not to be too dramatic, but this story freaks me out, because this woman had stopped by the daycare enough for the kids to recognize her. It's also very unsettling where her car was positioned on the road. We have plenty of cameras filming the entire property, and many of them catch that road, but she always parked in such a way that none of our cameras could catch her license plate. It felt very deliberate. For clarification on a couple of things, we did notify the police, but we never heard back from them. And even though I don't work there anymore, I do still have a few friends who do work there. The woman has not been noticed since last November, which is when this happened. I have no idea what that lady is up to, but I hope she never returns. I grew up in Central Florida as a child of divorce. The separation between my parents was not a smooth one. In fact, it was a nightmare. The mid to late 90s was not a good time for my family. The year was 1997, and I was 5 years old. I had to attend daycare down the road from my mom's job. Since I was very young, I don't remember a whole lot of what happened, but I can piece together the fragments of what I can remember and my mother's recollection of the events. One day, all the kids were playing outside. I had this very faint memory of running around the yard, playing tag with the other kids. I found myself running toward a wooden bench before blacking out. I woke up in a room inside of the daycare sometime later. I could hear my mom talking to someone in the hallway outside. She was very upset, borderline hysterical. I remember that she would sometimes talk this way with my father, and I knew that she would take this tone because something bad had happened. I tried calling for her, when I realized that I couldn't speak properly. There was one of those tall mirrors in the room. When I got up and walked over to it, I saw a bandage that was right below my mouth, covering my chin. My 5-year-old self couldn't quite put two and two together. In other words, I don't remember getting a boo-boo. So, I removed the bandage and was absolutely traumatized to see my bottom lip literally hanging off of my face, exposing the bottom row of my teeth. Everything is a blur beyond this point, but I had to get 2 separate surgeries to repair my lower lip, which the daycare foot the bill for. To this very day, there's a tiny scar on the inside of my lip. As a father now myself, I cannot imagine what my poor mom went through that day. She was already dealing with a bunch of other problems at the time, and then had to come to a daycare center to see her son had literally busted his lip open.
There's always a reason to be afraid.